from Who's Got It Better Than Us to Brick by Brick. It's always the 49ers way, from off-season to game day. Yeah, we talk back. It's the 49ers Cutback.
Was great to have you in here. Well, let's jump in and see what we have to work with this week. It's been quiet, so not a whole lot going on, but we are getting close to the draft. What are we, a couple of 3 weeks away, I think, maybe? I haven't looked at that exactly, but I think maybe it's like 3 weeks. Maybe it's two.
It's three, yeah. I think you're right. I think it's 3 weeks away.
Yep, 3 weeks.
Yeah, we're almost there.
Yeah, so today we're going to talk potential offensive draft picks. Next week we'll talk potential defensive draft picks and see what's on everybody's mind. So so last week, Dante Whitner, or it could have been earlier this week, Dante Whitner told Kay Adams that the 49ers had to play against Taylor Swift, the Chiefs, and the refs in the Super Bowl. How do you feel about a former 49ers player going on a podcast that's national and saying that? Because 49ers fans have taken a little bit of a beating here lately from fans around the league. How did you feel about that?
I'm indifferent. I don't really care. Dante Whitner has earned the right to say whatever he wants. In fact, most of these guys, they talk about it on the regular. If this would have been a current San Francisco 49er, if this would have been Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk or George Kittle, I think it's more newsworthy. I don't think this is really something that needs to be news. But Dante Whitner's going to speak his mind. He said lots of things during the season that were very interesting and definitely got a lot of people's attention. This is kind of what Whitner does. We've seen Jerry Rice have comments in the past about players and things that maybe got people's attention. So it's not really something that's new. I think it's something that a lot of fans have probably thought or heard people say already, maybe in fan groups or whatever. But to me, the fact that Dante Whitner said it's not a big deal, I thought it was interesting. Charles Omenihu actually got a little bit worked up about it. It's like, why are you worked up about it, man? Like, it's no big deal. It's just Whitner being Whitner.
You're going to bet with Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports season. From MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Yeah, you know, we definitely can look back and see that this Chiefs offensive line, which was famous for being called for holding, wasn't called in the Super Bowl. And we all have seen the videos of 49ers pass rushers being bear hugged. But at the same time, I am loathed to blame the refs. I just think calls go both ways for the most part. I'm not one of those that believes that the NFL's rigged or that the NFL wanted Taylor Swift to win. I just don't believe that stuff. Now, maybe someday I'll be proven wrong, but until that time, I'm just going to believe that the 49ers missed yet another opportunity, and it's heartbreaking, and it makes us all sad. The other thing that I thought was interesting is that Eagles wide receiver Paris Campbell said that Saquon Barkley, who now plays for the Eagles, is the best running back in the NFL, even better than Christian McCaffrey, and actually mentioned McCaffrey by name. So when you heard that, did you fall out of your chair laughing? Did you roll your eyes, or did you go, he might be right?
This is definitely an eye roll. I mean, you got to say this about your guy, right? You got to pump up Saquon Barkley, but he's not better than Christian McCaffrey. He's not better at running the football. He's not better at catching the football. He's not better at blocking. He's just not better than Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey is the number one running back in the entire league. He's proven it over the last two seasons, and there's not anyone close. And I think Saquon Barkley's got a lot of potential, a lot of ability. I think he's going to do well in Philadelphia. I think that's going to be a nice fit for him. But no, until I see it in Philadelphia, I mean, I don't even know if he's going to average even close to what Christian McCaffrey did. Hey, here's an idea. Get over 1,000 yards rushing this year and have a really good season catching the football, and then we'll have a conversation about it. But until then, you're not the offensive player of the year, and you're just not in the level of Christian McCaffrey. Right now, Christian McCaffrey is the best thing going at the running back position, and now you're seeing value for running backs around the league, and a lot of it's because of the things McCaffrey does. I think Saquon's a great talent. I've liked him for a long time. I think he's a really good football player, but no, he's not there yet.
Yeah, good rusher, good receiver, but you're right. He's no Christian McCaffrey, and I don't even know who Paris Campbell is. I never heard of the guy until this thing came out. So you probably have heard of him, but I never had. So interesting that he's doing it. But hey, I mean, you gotta support your teammates. So whatever. Speaking of Christian McCaffrey, is Kyle Shanahan gonna let up on him sometime in 2024? I mean, he rode McCaffrey a lot last year, and I think the 49ers got lucky that McCaffrey never got injured. Could Kyle maybe use somebody else a little bit more? I know Elijah Mitchell's always hurt, but as great as McCaffrey is, I would love to see him get less touches in 2024. That's hard to say because he's so dynamic, but I just don't want the guy to get hurt.
Yeah, I think here's a case where you have Kyle Shanahan who wants to get the ball in Christian McCaffrey's hands as much as he can because he's his number one playmaker, and a playmaker who wants the ball in his hands as much as he can. The truth is that fans think about longevity and reps and things a lot more than coaches and players do. Coaches and players know that if you get the ball in the hands of your best players, you have a better chance to make plays and win football games. Yep. So, yeah, I mean, is there probably a pitch count? Yes, but Bobby Turner's making sure McCaffrey's in whenever they need him. And, yeah, I think there's always a case that you would like to get the ball into some other guy's hands, maybe give McCaffrey some more breaks. But last year, they did have time where Elijah Mitchell was out. I think Kyle Shanahan has a lot of confidence in Elijah Mitchell because he can do the things that you need from that particular position that you get from McCaffrey. He can catch the ball in the backfield. He's very good vision. He can find holes. Where you get a little bit of a difference between him and Jordan Mason, where Jordan Mason's more of a physical runner who can get extra yards after contact. But I think Kyle's wanting somebody that's more close to what McCaffrey does because of the type of strain it puts on a defense as far as covering McCaffrey out of the backfield. And you want a running back with a like set of skills so you don't have to change everything up. I do think they like Jordan Mason. I think he's progressing. He's getting a little bit better pass blocking, getting a little bit better catching the football. Expect there to be another jump after this offseason, but we just don't know how much. It's still going to be a key to get McCaffrey the ball as much as possible, but finding little breaks and little areas to get somebody else you feel confident in is probably something they're going to do. And I think with Elijah Mitchell going into the last year of his contract, they're probably going to try to give him some extra touches this season.
Roberto said Kyle rode Mitchell into the ground. I'm assuming he meant his rookie season. He will do whatever it takes to win. And then he said, if they don't fix the offensive line, none of the rest matters. We'll talk offensive line here in a second. I wanted to throw out Josh's question here to you real quick. Thoughts on the new tight end? He's a guy that hasn't played. He hasn't played much. He's been around for a long time. I think in 2022, he had his best season as a pass catcher. But I don't know. He's probably more of a Charlie Warner type from what I can tell.
It's a Band-Aid. It's insurance in case you don't get somebody in the draft. They tried to make a move. They tried to make things happen in free agency, and it didn't work out. And so now what they're doing is making sure they don't have a hole at tight end. We don't know what Cameron Latu is. We don't know what Braden Willis is ultimately going to be, but you do know what you're getting from Schaubert. You at least know you got a guy that's consistent, that's played in the NFL for a while and understands what he's supposed to do as an inline blocker. So to me, you get a veteran. It's an upgrade from Ross Dwelly. And so now you've got four tight ends, two young, and you look to see if you can strike in the draft with one of these young tight ends potentially to come in and compete with those young guys, because I don't think they're fully sold. And I know a lot of people are fully sold on Braden Willis. I'm not sure the 49ers are sold on either one of those guys right now. I think they expect both of them to take a step up. And I think the reason that I keep kind of getting that thought process is if Braden Willis was everything they thought he was going to be, they probably wouldn't need to bring in a veteran tight end too that's a good blocker. They would have Braden Willis for that role, which means both roles are potentially available, and we'll see what happens. There's some guys in the draft that are interesting. I did a mock draft that came out on Sunday. A lot of people not happy that I took a tight end in the second round, but when you get a guy like Jatavion Sanders in the second round that can really do some things down the field, too enticing for me. I want him and Kittle out there with Brock Purdy. Just, it sounded fun to me.
Yeah, that does sound fun. And I think that Kyle has been wanting a dual threat at tight end to complement George Kittle for a while and just hasn't been able to find that. So we said at the top of the show that we're going to talk 49ers offense and the draft today. Next week, we're going to talk 49ers defense and the draft. So let's get into this. What position, before we talk offense, what position just in general, whether it's offense or defense, do you think that they're most likely to address in the first round, the three weeks and one day from tonight?
I think it depends on how the board falls. I really do. I think that they would love to get a generational talent at tackle and go ahead and set up this offensive line, you know, for the future, a guy that could eventually play after Trent Williams goes ahead and moves on. But the likelihood of one of those big-time tackles falling to 31 is not looking very good. There's a lot of tackle-needy teams ahead of them. And let's be honest, look at the landscape of the NFL. There's not a lot of good offensive linemen in general. Most of the good athletes are playing on the defensive side of the ball and playing defensive line. So to me, this is one of those situations where the 49ers are going to have to look at where need meets best player available. In my mock draft, I went ahead and took a cornerback because it was a very talented player that fit a need. The 49ers have a need at nickel corner or outside corner, depending on what you want to do with Diamond or Lenore. So I think that it depends on how the board falls. Now, if one of those premier edge rushers fall anywhere close to 31, I think the 49ers are going to pounce on that because you never have enough edge. And having a guy opposite of Bosa that's an absolute beast is still a goal. So I think edge rusher, offensive line, and I think only one center at 31. Powers Johnson is the only center I think is potential. I really don't think the 49ers want to go offensive line, interior offensive line in the first round. So to me, I think offensive line is there. It's mainly offensive tackle, edge rusher, and cornerback are the most likely. A lot of people would throw wide receiver out there. I just don't know. Might be a little bit too rich for the 49ers blood at 31.
Yeah, I think that if they're going to get a tackle in the first round, it's probably going to come from trading up. I agree with you. I don't see one fall into 31 that I think they would jump at. Wide receiver is a possibility. Josh mentioned that. Donald mentioned defensive line. Those are definitely possibilities. I think that corner, you said that you did that in your mock, certainly would agree with that. And edge, I don't disagree with you there. I think that if an elite edge defender falls to 31, then they'll jump on that guy. So, but it just kind of shows you the difference between this regime and the one that Jim Harbaugh was part of, where they go and get Joe Staley and Mike Yiapati and forgetting the guy that was the right tackle for them in those years. Anthony Davis, yeah. And so they invested a lot in the first round in their offensive line, and their offensive line was really, really good. They brought in Jonathan Goodwin, who was a veteran who'd won a Super Bowl with the Saints. They had Alex Boone, who I don't remember if he was drafted or if he was undrafted, but he was more of a project, but he became a stud. And so they put a lot into the offensive line where this regime really hasn't, other than what they invested in Trent Williams. I mean, they did invest a first rounder in Mike McGlinchey, but do you think that that's going to change? I mean, or do they just still think, look, we can scheme around an offensive line the way that they've done it so far?
I think it's all about value, especially at 31. And I seen Josh talk about trading back. That's actually what I did in my mock draft. I traded back two spots, allowed Carolina to come up and get the receiver that they wanted. And I dropped back two spots and still got a Cooper DeJuan, who I wanted, the quarterback. So I think it comes down to value. And the 49ers value a player that could be a playmaker. And here's one of the things that I think is one of the most interesting points about 31. If the 49ers get there, do you really get a player that's developmental that you're going to have to just not play for 2024? He's just going to sit there and not make an impact on a team that's looking to win a Super Bowl. Can you just sit and park people in this situation? I don't know. I think you need a player that can make an impact in year one. So finding a player that can find his way onto the field may be one of the most important ways to go. So offensive line, what are you going to get? The 9th, 10th best tackle potentially? I don't know if that is the smartest way to go. So finding that player that can make an impact could be huge. That's why receiver is on the board, because if you could add a guy that can stretch the field vertically, that's 6'3", like A.D. Mitchell, that runs a 4.3, you have to at least take it into consideration. So I think the 49ers would love to go best player available that aligns with the needs that they have on their football team, which aren't very many. And in that situation, I think cornerback, defensive line, especially edge rusher and offensive lineman makes sense, but an offensive lineman is going to have to fall. The top five guys, they're probably going to go in the top 15 picks. That's just the way it looks like it's going to go right now with how the board is working out.
Yeah, Leon asks, do you think the wide receiver Polk will last till 63, really talented and the kind of guy that literally sleeps in the weight room to be the first one there in the morning? I love those players.
I think Polk could. There's potential for Polk to be at 63. We know the 49ers are sniffing around second, third, fourth round talent at wide receiver. We've seen them meet with Malachi Corley. We've seen some of these moves. You know, Rashee Rice came in for a 30 visit. So I think that, or not Rashee Rice, I'm sorry, Brendan Rice. They're looking at guys that, that could potentially fall in that range. So to me, that would make a lot of sense. I love Polk. I think he's a star player. Somebody in the second round that you get, you know you're going to get a lot of value out of. And how much impact he makes in his rookie season, I don't know. That's the question about wide receiver and Shanahan's offense. How much impact do they have year one? But we've seen when Debo wasn't forced in there and was kind of able to kind of, you know, work his way around and then use him and his skills in particular ways, he had a lot of success. So if you could do that with Polk, that would make sense. That way, when you get down the road and Juwan Jennings potentially moves on, or Brandon Ayuk, or whatever happens with that situation, you have a player set and ready to step in.
Okay, so we said we're going to talk defense next week. So what do you see them doing on offense in the draft? And I'm not talking really what you want them to do, but what do you think they will do?
Well, I think they're going to look at offensive line. I think offensive line is going to be something they at least approach. I think looking for a player that can either play on the outside or even getting a very solid guy on the inside, because I think that when they're looking at their backup veteran players, they might need to go ahead and get somebody that could eventually step in that they can develop, because I'm not sure their developmental guys right now are going to be able to be eventual starters. So going ahead and upgrading your depth is going to be a key. I think they need to get playmakers, and I think they need to fill a couple holes. I think they should go ahead and try to find tight end two in this draft. I think they should approach the cornerback position, because I think you need to approach the cornerback position in every single year. So those are keys. On offense, it's a little bit harder. There's not as many holes. They're bringing back 12, basically, if you count Juwan Jennings, starters. So you're finding guys that are going to be depth pieces. I don't expect the 49ers to be able to draft a player in this draft that will step in and start day one. I don't think an offensive lineman can do it. I don't think any of those top guys are going to be in a position to take the 49ers starting spot. So to me, that's where I'm kind of looking at it. I see that there's some key holes. I look for the 49ers to fill some of those holes, but to find guys that are going to be able to help with depth, help with special teams, and then eventually step in when you need them and make some plays for this football team.
So what about running back? Do you think that they're going to go with a running back this year? I mean, we've seen the lower round running backs do well. We've seen the higher round running backs not do well. When we think of Jordan Mason, Elijah Mitchell being keepers, and Trey Sermon, Ty Davis Price being no longer with the team. What do you think that they do at running back? I see that Josh said draft Gore Jr. as an undrafted free agent. Or he's saying pick him up as a undrafted free agent. Do you think that they're going to draft somebody, or do you think that they're going to wait and just grab a guy or two as an undrafted free agent?
Well, I think Gore as a UDFA makes a lot of sense. I think there is a possibility he doesn't get drafted. And in that case, you know, the 49ers might look to go that direction. I think when it comes to the draft, I don't think they're coming in and ignoring running back. You do have a decision to make next year on Elijah Mitchell. He's going to be a free agent. You have Jordan Mason, but Ty Davis Price has moved on. You don't really have another guy set up. They could always wait till next year. I think there's some intriguing guys that are going to be available in this draft that the 49ers could go with. And depending on where it happens, though, we don't want anything in the third round, fourth round, and beyond. Day three picks would be where you're looking at. Potentially a guy from Tennessee like Jalen Wright would make a lot of sense for the 49ers. A lot of speed, athleticism, guy that could catch the football out of the backfield. I think that could happen. But honestly, I think that this is going to have to be round 5, 6, or 7 that they approach running back if they do it, because you do have three guys that are going to be on this 53-man roster. The 49ers didn't really want to have a fourth guy active day, you know, on the game day roster. They were elevating from the practice squad. So to me, UDFA makes a lot of sense unless somebody falls that they have a high grade on, which is always a possibility. You might have a second or third round grade on someone. You're sitting in the sixth round, and it's just too juicy to pass up, so you go ahead and take them.
You think that Frank Gore Jr. is not going to be drafted?
I think it's possible. I think that he's been trending in the wrong direction. I think his name carries a lot of weight. I think he has some pretty good film. But to me, that's kind of what I saw him as. I think anything before the sixth round would actually really surprise me for Frank Gore Jr. I think he's a talented player, but when you look at the vision, you look at the way that he runs, it's not the same as his dad. He doesn't play as low. He's not as physical. His vision's not there. I think he's a solid player, but I do think that a lot of teams are going to shy away from him, just the way that he runs and the style that he has. So, yeah, I think he would not be surprising if you don't see him get drafted and potentially be a UDFA.
Yeah, I kind of agree that I don't think they'll draft a running back this year. Now, anytime I think that I figured out what they're going to do, they don't do that. But what about wide receiver? Because I would be shocked if they don't draft a wide receiver at some point in the draft.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they're going to draft a wide receiver. I think they're going to bring someone in to compete, because I don't think they're sold on a wide receiver beyond Juwan Jennings. I think they, Ayuk, Debo, Juwan, you feel good. Ray Ray's moved on. Now you've got Danny Gray. We haven't really seen anything from Danny Gray. We got Ronnie Bell. He ended up being inactive. He struggles to block. That's a real problem. No block, no rock for Kyle Shanahan. And then you got Chris Conley. They're probably the most comfortable with Conley. So I think that there is a definite way the 49ers can approach this draft. I think they need to get somebody that's big, physical, and fast. And I think that's what they're probably going to do. So I don't know if they're going to look for guys that are smaller. We've seen so far the guys they've met with have been more physical type receivers. I think they've got a particular type they're looking for. I don't know if that is potentially to replace anyone, but I think they're looking for a certain type of guy, and I would expect them to draft one wide receiver. I wouldn't even be shocked if they didn't draft two because they need to make sure that they have the guys that can handle the situation. Plus, they're probably looking at it too as maybe potentially finding a return guy as well. And there are some guys, that's my where you might find a smaller guy. There's some guys in here that can really make some plays.
Yeah, that is something that we haven't discussed too much. I mean, we talked about it a little bit a couple of weeks ago. How comfortable are you having Ronnie Bell returning punts again? And we agreed that we did not like the thought of that. And so they don't really have somebody. They have some guys who can do it, but they don't really have anybody who specializes in that. With the new kickoff rule, maybe they'll use somebody like Debo back there, but for kickoff returns. But then you have, what are you going to do on punt returns? So that is going to be an interesting predicament there for them. And I would guess they probably address that in the draft. I mean, do you think who on the roster right now would they even use? I mean, Ayuk did it and did it very well in college, but they haven't shown any willingness to use him there.
I think that with kickoff is entirely different than punt now. I think with the new kickoff rules, you're going to have a different kind of player that handles your kickoff return. I think that punt is the one the 49ers have to worry about. They have to get a guy they know can securely catch the football consistently and has the ability to pop 15, 20 yards on a return. When it comes to kickoff return, this is where I think running backs are really going to be used. I mean, this is the time where Elijah Mitchell and Jordan Mason could be very good for a kickoff return, because you are looking for holes now. You have guys right there blocking across the board. Now you've got to have vision as far as finding holes. There's not as much space. To me, this is where running backs and backup running backs can really make a name for themselves in kickoff return. So it gets a little bit more interesting with the new kickoff rules.
Yeah, Josh in the chat agrees, want a running back to return kicks. And he also said, Kyle Special, long snapper in the third. Let's hope not. So they get Wishnowski, and what did they get him in the fourth? And then Moody in the third, and so now the long snapper in the third. That would not be good. Okay, so last year they drafted two tight ends, one in the third round, and then Braylon was in the seventh, I think.
Seventh, yeah.
Do you see them drafting another tight end? I mean, you talked about their most recent addition as maybe a Band-Aid until, depending on what they do in the draft. Do you see them drafting another tight end?
I do. I think they're going to approach tight end in this draft because I think they want competition, and you need competition. I don't think that anything about last year sells you on those two young guys. And I think they want Cameron Latu to work out. I think they want Braydon Willis to work out. But you can't just hedge your bets that those guys are going to do that. And they've had a real problem with tight ends behind George Kittle. So, yeah, you bring in somebody that's going to be a veteran presence, but you want to bring in somebody that can compete. And there's some young players in this draft that are pretty good. Now, it depends on what kind of tight end you're looking for. If you want a playmaker, Sanders, Jaheim Bell, those guys are going to be playmakers for you. If you're looking for a complete tight end, it's going to be a little bit different. You might go with Sennett. You might go with a couple other guys. So, to me, this is really interesting.
Yeah, it is. And I see that Bryant mentioned Devin Culp from Washington. I have to admit, I don't know anything about him. I don't watch a ton of college football, and when I do, it's Oklahoma, Arkansas. Y'all don't know that I grew up in Arkansas. You probably don't know that. I spent my entire teenage life there, so I'm an Arkansas Razorback. But I lived for 17 years in Oklahoma, so I'm also an Oklahoma Sooner, strangely enough. So outside of those two teams, especially when it comes to the West Coast teams, that by the time a lot of them play, I've moved on to other things in the day, or I'm sleepy or whatever. And so I'm not familiar with Devin Culp at all. You know anything about him?
I'll be honest. I haven't got that far in depth. There are guys that are, you find all the time that really never get mentioned. I seen Josh is talking about Theo Johnson in the third round. Theo Johnson's a very talented prospect out of Penn State, 6'5", 260 pounds, can play inline, can catch the football, very good blocker, complete tight end. I think he would be a target for the 49ers. That's a name to think about. It all depends on what approach they're taking. Are they looking for a guy that's going to make plays in the passing game, which they haven't really had with Charlie Warner? Or are they looking for a guy that's going to be a consistent inline blocker? I think Theo's kind of one of those guys that can do it all. He's a physical freak of nature. So to me, those are some guys. So it's very interesting.
Bryant said he's that's his cousin. So, hey, there you go. Maybe they'll pick up Devin Culp as an undrafted free agent like Bryant's saying, and then Bryant will be set for life. Let me get to the next thing here. What about quarterback? Do you think that they're going to draft another quarterback? They obviously brought in, they have three right now on the roster, and then Kellen Mond was one that they brought in at their local pro day today. But who knows what, if anything, they're going to do with that. But do you see them? They've kind of drafted a quarterback on occasion. Obviously, they drafted Brock Purdy when they had Trey Lance, and they thought that he was going to be the guy. So I wouldn't put it past them to draft another quarterback even this year.
Yeah, especially late. I mean, if you have a guy that you are, you know, at least high on, and he's got some traits that you like, what's the problem with bringing on a late-round draft pick that maybe you're worried about not getting as a UDFA that you could bring in and compete? And, yeah, Kellen Mond could be a part of this conversation, but bringing in a young guy to compete with Kellen Mond, because ultimately you want to have guys on the practice squad. Having a quarterback on the practice squad with the new rules, the way the NFL has, you can elevate those guys for game day, and it doesn't count against your elevation. So the league has changed some rules that make it a little bit easier, and there's some quarterbacks that the 49ers could potentially be interested in. Leary from Kentucky makes sense. He's played in the same system the 49ers run, at least primarily. The former 49ers quarterback coach was actually their offensive coordinator before, so you have some familiarity there. But then there's a guy that I like out of Western Kentucky, and that's Austin Reed. I like him. I like his accuracy. I like the way he gets rid of the ball quickly. He's got some nice traits about him. It's going to be a late-round pick, late 6, early 7, potentially even undrafted. To me, those are some guys that are late round. You go ahead and you take a shot. You might not get him as UDFA. Bring him in to compete. What's the worst thing that happens? You end up on your practice squad. Not such a bad deal.
And earlier somebody mentioned that if the 49ers don't fix or improve the offensive line, that none of this matters. Do you think that they're going to come away from this draft with a better offensive line than they currently have?
I mean, as far as depth, yes. I think there's no way that people are going to be excited about what happens in this draft as far as starters, because I don't believe the 49ers can get a player at 31 that can start on the offensive line. Maybe Powers Johnson, the center, but even though I think he's got the skills to start, will he have the mental to start? Will he be able to pick up this offense, pick up the protections? I don't know. I think this offense is really hard for one of these young offensive linemen to step in day one and be able to start. We've seen Mike McGlinchey really struggle when he stepped in at right tackle. I don't think the 49ers can afford to wait for one of these guys. So as hard as it is for people to hear, I don't expect the 49ers to draft someone that steps in day one and starts. I think Colt McKivitz will hold on to his job. I think Jake Brendel will hold on to his job. I think if you are drafting people in this draft, you're trying to improve depth and potentially improve what happens next year. One player I really like in this draft, I think the 49ers could get in the late second, probably even the third round, at pick 94, is Dominic Puny out of Kansas. I really like him. He's a five-position player. He played tackle in college, but this is a guy that can play inside as well. I seen him play at the Senior Bowl as a center. If you go and you watch any of those film, he is very, very good. Good technique, good athleticism. If you know about Graham Barton, who's probably going to go in the first round, this is the poor man's version of Graham Barton, and getting him in the third round with that versatility, something the 49ers love, I think he could be eventual guy that could replace Jake Brendel after the 2024 season. To me, that's the type of player I think the 49ers are going to look to strike in this draft.
Yeah, that's that is interesting. And I agree with you that no starter in 2024 on the offensive line is going to be drafted in this draft. If they do draft a starter, what side of the ball do you think that starter is going to be on?
Defense. 49ers are returning 12 starters, basically, counting Juwan Jennings on offense. I think defense is the one, especially if you were able to get a big-time corner at pick 31 or trade back and get one of those guys. There's some guys I really like, and if you get one of those guys, they can plug and play. Some of these dudes are legit, really good hips, good flexibility. They drive on the football very well. Yeah, I think this is a good corner draft and a position the 49ers could definitely find a starter. And just like with, you know, with all things, I think that's probably the key one, because I think safety, you got enough talent there. You're probably going to draft a safety. And with defensive line, I don't see a young rookie being able to step in above the guys that are there. I think they could work in what you ultimately want. So to me, it's probably cornerback is the position I think has the most likelihood to be able to get a starter. That's why I kind of lean towards cornerback at pick 31.
If anybody has any questions, any especially offensive draft questions, hop in the chat here and let us know. I wanted to go through just a couple of things that Matt Barrows just tweeted. Today was the local pro day for the 49ers. And he said that Kellen Mond, the quarterback, was on hand. The 49ers reached out to Mond's agent, and he jumped at the opportunity. The interesting thing that I saw in here was that that Kellen Mond noted that Clint Kubiak was Minnesota's offensive coordinator when the Vikings drafted him in the third round in 2021. So he's at least familiar with 49ers' system. So Mond said that he hopes the tryout leads to a contract offer, but that he hasn't had that discussion with the 49ers yet. He also mentioned that some new coaches were on hand, including new assistant linebackers coach KJ Wright, who was active in drills. Let's see. The 49ers still have not added an assistant defensive line coach after Darrell Tapp left for Washington. Other newcomers included Brandon Staley and Mick Lombardi, whose titles still haven't been determined. And then he also mentioned that Terrell Owens was there to watch his son, Tyreek, work out, and that defensive end Ron Stone Jr. was another 49ers legacy on hand at the pro day. Interesting. I didn't realize Ron Stone was an offensive lineman for the 49ers several years ago. So that's yet another former 49ers kid that is possibly going to be drafted. So, Ann, do you have anything else? I don't see any questions in the chat. So do you have anything as we wrap up here?
Yeah, let me say this about Mond. Mond played in a pro-style offense in college. Then, like you said, he goes to Minnesota and he plays in a system that's very familiar, similar verbiage. He'll understand what he's supposed to get through. To me, this one screams a player that could definitely help the 49ers in the offseason when you need guys to get you through some of the things that you got to do as far as, you know, rookie mini camps and all those things. This makes a lot of sense that way. But also, let's not forget that Chris Sims was super high on Kellen Mond. Chris Sims loved Kellen Mond in that draft, and he is good friends with Kyle Shanahan. So I doubt that this is something that hasn't at least came around Kyle Shanahan's desk before. I don't know if ultimately this means anything. I don't think Mond is a player in this league that can make a lot of plays. But having a guy that comes in that's been in the league a little bit, that understands the offense, is always a smart move. And also, once again, you have to have four quarterbacks. Usually when you come into camp, you've got to make sure you have the guys. So if you don't draft someone, you don't want to sign someone as an undrafted free agent, you could potentially have a guy like Kellen Mond.
All right, here's a few questions. I don't have much time, so I'm going to run through this real quick. Jordan Morgan thoughts. Do you know who Jordan Morgan is?
Yeah, I like him. Offensive tackle out of Arizona. I like him. I like his technique. I just don't see a first-round talent out of him, though. I think he's a second-round talent. I think this is a guy that I don't know how much better he will be than Colton McKivitz. I honestly don't. I think that I see some things that I like about him. I see some holes in his game. I see a little bit of consistency issues. So, to me, I think he's a solid player. I don't ever see him playing left tackle. I think he's a right tackle for his entire career. I think a lot of teams would even move him to guard. So, for me, I mean, round two potentially, but I don't think he makes it to 63.
All right. The next question is from Bryant. How many points will Jake Moody score this year? And I was just looking up to see how many he scored last year. He scored, he was 60 of 61 on extra points and 21 of 25 on field goals. Trying to find total points, but I'm not seeing total points on here.
I'll just say more than last year.
Yeah. He has to be better in his second season. Rookie years are tough on kickers, and he wasn't bad. He was pretty good, in fact. I mean, we remember the miss in Cleveland. We remember the block in the Super Bowl. But he also, for a few minutes, had the longest field goal ever in Super Bowl history. So that's pretty impressive. I know Bryant loves Jake Moody. So I don't know how many points, but I would agree that he's going to score more points. Rich Hidalgo. Is this the Richard Hidalgo who used to play for the Astros years ago? How long is Juice signed for? Maybe a hybrid fullback tight end in the draft.
I don't know how long he signed for.
One more season, I think. Maybe two. I can't remember. I'd have to. We're so well prepared on this stuff. Jack Coletto still around for Juice replacement? Maybe. I don't think that he's still with the team.
No, they released him off the practice squad last year to make room for other players. I think that has sailed. And Jack Coletto was an interesting player, but yeah, I honestly don't believe that there's ever going to be a Juice replacement. I think once Juice moves on, they're just going to have to go a different route. I don't see a player that has that kind of versatility in this league.
Yeah. Donald said, I'd love to see Ant's ranking of players in the draft by each position of need. Well, that would be quite an undertaking there. But if anybody can do it, players, you can do it. Yeah. Mr. Corey said, been missing your shows. Ant finally caught one. That's because he's contractually obligated to only work with me.
There you go.
I'm kidding. That's not true. All right. Well, that's all of that, Oh, wait, I did want to get to Donald's question that I marked here earlier. I ignored it for a while because it was on defense. Are you sold on Collins? Or do the Niners need to draft a defensive tackle?
I think defensive tackle is not need. I think defensive tackle is just something you always want to approach. I am sold on Malik Collins and what he's going to do in this defense. Him and Hargrave are going to make for a nice starting unit. And then you've got some really good backups. They brought back Kevin Givens, of course. And then you've got Jordan Elliott. He's going to be playing as well. He was very good for Cleveland last year. And then you've got Kalia Davis, who they were high on. He made the initial 53-man roster, but he's had some injury concerns. I think that's where you get it. Now, there's defensive tackles littered in the first part of this draft. Yeah, if one of those big-time guys falls at some position, especially in the second round, that's very interesting. Third round as well, guy like Dwayne Carter out of Duke, very interesting to me. So I think defensive tackle can be approached. I just don't think it's an overall need right now.
Yeah. On those, on the Jake Moody points, I have him at about 123. I could be off a little bit, but 123 is what I have. So he's gonna score more points than that. Hey, that's all that we have for this week. Be sure to be back here same time next week for the Red and Bold Show. And we would appreciate it if you take a minute and go subscribe to both channels, 49ers Camelot and 49ers Cutback. You see both on the screen here. We would appreciate it if you would do that. Everybody have a great rest of your week.
Thank you guys so much for joining this episode brought to you by Bet Online. The game starts here. I'll catch you guys in the next one. Until then, stay safe. Remember, the right way is always the 49ers.